We're going to move on now in Mark's Gospel. You remember we were just talking about, or, you know, commenting on Mark, chapter 8, this, the multiplication and then the discussion about the bread. They're in the boat. Now they're coming back west and they land at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida. They brought to him, this is starting with verse 22 of chapter 8. They brought to him a blind man, and they earnestly asked him that he touch him. And taking hold of the blind man's hand, he led him out of the town, and spitting on his eyes, he put his hand on him. He asked him, "Do you see anything?" And looking up, he said, "I am looking at men, for I see them like trees walking." Then again he put his hands on his eyes, and he saw clearly, and he was restored. And he kept gazing at everything with clarity. And he, Jesus now, sent him to his house, saying, "Do not even go into the town. It'll be such a great sensation. Everybody will be clamoring, and they won't listen to what I'm saying. They just hope they get healed. And so go home, relax, enjoy it, tell your family what happened. You know, they'll see what happened." But it's this enlightenment, huh? And it's an interesting story because it's the only one like it. Like there's going to be a one for healing, I mean hearing too, but as we already had, huh? You remember back in chapter 7, our Lord left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee, and they brought him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, a mogi lalon. That word comes from a text in Isaiah. So the people who know the Bible, especially in Greek, would say, oh, he's alluding to that promise of a prophecy back in Isaiah. Anyway, now we have, after that, we have the feeding. And now at the end of the feeding, the last words we have before this incident are, "Do you still not understand?" Well, who's blind? The man at Bethsaida, or the disciples in the boat? Or are they both blind? And what about us? Are our lives thrilled to be learning this stuff? Or are we blind? That's very interesting. Yes, I think that's great. I'm glad Jesus did that. And it never touches us. Then we're blind. We're not getting it. So what do you do then? You just pray. Pray. And read. You know? And like Honey the Circle Drawer, "I won't leave this spot until you explain this text to me, or I'll come back to this spot tomorrow and wait again." And because you see, it isn't an intellectual understanding, or understanding all I'm trying to do now, you know, the cultural and the linguistic and so forth. You know? No. It's having that gesture of Jesus touch you. That's when you understand. That's why, when you remember the last word Jesus just challenged them with, you know, "I just multiplied these many loaves and you got that many. I multiplied these many loaves and you got that many. Do you still lack understanding?" And the answer is yes. So now we have the story of a man being enlightened. You see how it's a man, it's a man, and he was enlightened. Not a make-up story, but it's placed here to show us how Jesus can enlighten our physical eyes, all those people we just read about in that account, huh? What was all that about, besides love and mercy that those blind people and crippled people would be freed from that and healthy? It's also to say, what I just did for their bodies, I can do for your whole life. Your soul, your mind, your spirit. Where you're blind there, you only half believe, you come to me, I'll help you with that. See, and that's what's going on. And so, they came to Bethsaida, they brought to him a blind man. And they earnestly asked him that he touch him. Now this is a very interesting one because it's a gradual healing. And taking hold of the blind man's hand, he led him out of the town. You could ask all day, why did he do that? Didn't he want everybody to see? Not his power, but the compassion of the Father. He had many things he wanted to do with this. But I guess he wanted to be alone with this man for a while. And so he, spitting on his eyes, interesting, isn't it? That's an old healing technique, but the Son of God doesn't need them. Why did he do that? Maybe to awaken, oh, he's doing something for me. I don't know why. Putting his hands on him, he asked him, do you see anything? And looking up, he said, I'm looking at men, for I see them, but like trees walking. Then again he put his hands on his eyes, and he saw clearly, and he was restored. What a mysterious account. Why the spittle? Why the two times? You know, there could be lots of reasons. Maybe the first time his spirit was enlightened and his eyes enough to know that he could figure out something was happening. I don't know. See, but I see men, but they look like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again, and he saw clearly, and he was restored, and he kept on gazing at everything with clarity. You would too. I remember when I had cataract operations, and then they finally, I guess they did them one at a time, I don't remember now, but all of a sudden, everything had color in a brand new way. You get, cataracts grow slowly, so you don't realize how beautiful and colorful the world is until they take that stuff off, and there's, oh, I forgot that it was this colorful. That's nothing, see, compared to this guy getting his whole sight back. And so he sent him to his house, saying, do not even go into the town. I don't want a big sensation over this, you see. But he does want something, you see. He wants to enlighten this blind man. And so, you see, it's in stages. Why? For many reasons, but one of them may be pedagogical. You're starting to catch on. You're starting to get to know me. Then hang around with me, and I'll continually open your eyes until you get it. Until you get it. When you got it, you see, then you can share it. What a blessing for your whole family. But you got to be kind of, I'm not being about bold or, you know, like a bold salesman. I mean, sure of yourself. Like my friend who wrote that letter. But did she always know that God had healing power? Sure, she teaches the Bible herself. But all of a sudden, there it is. There it is in hundreds, maybe thousands of people, right there. And then you say, by golly, that's true. The next step is to have that yielded to in the depth of your own spirit so that you know it. Because, you see, this is eternal life. To know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You got to know him. It's okay to go to God and say, look, I hear about knowing you. I don't think I know you. You will. Right away? Depends on what's best for you. You know, if keeping you praying for a few months or even a year or so, it builds up your desire, your hunger, and you're more apt to receive the fullness. You'll be walking around for a while looking at men and they look like trees, you know, spiritually speaking. And then, bingo, the Lord will touch your eyes again and you'll see. And you'll understand. It's still faith, you know, until we see the Lord. But the eyes of our spirit have been touched, and the cataracts, the spiritual cataracts, have been removed. And now we can see. As I say, that was quite an experience that day, you know. That I guess they do them one at a time. I don't remember. I guess they did. And so, you know, I don't remember it all now, but after a while, they took off a bandage, and oh, in the hospital, and the walls looked so pretty. All of a sudden, everything had such color, I'd forgotten. Well, that's what happened to this blind man, you see? And so that's why it's so important. You see that the difference between that and the demand for a sign. Here, you see, Jesus just completely gives them a sign because it's so important. Now, we're going to be looking shortly, either now or next week, at Peter's confession. And this is a whole other reason why this gospel is here. Why? Because it's an anticipated realization on the physical level to what's going to happen to Peter when he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The spiritual cataracts were removed from his spirit. We all have to have that happen. It isn't we're all mystics, we're all John of the Cross. It just means we got it. Jesus, you are the living Son of the living God, and I want to be your disciple for my whole life and go to be with you forever. The cataracts are off. I got it. That's what we pray for. And so this story is a symbolic anticipation of what happens to Peter in the next story. And Mark is a great storyteller, an organizer of his gospel. These people are demanding a sign. If they only had eyes to see, they'd see lots of signs. So that's the power of this text. What I want to do now, we'll take a break in a moment, and then I want to discuss the enlightening of Peter. And so we'll stop there.